plains is associated in the minds of all of us with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. From east to west, it is a song familiar to old and young, whether sung to the rhythmic beat of horses' hoofs or played by symphony orchestras in famous concert halls. Home on the range has the power to make every American think of his home and his country. At the end of this song, we will travel from San Francisco across our land of open ranges, prairies, mountains, and rivers, and hear the voice of our own beloved president.
Gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Commissioner Creel, President Cutler, friends of the Golden Gate International Exposition. It is a far cry from the delightful little city of Key West to the Golden Gate. In a few minutes, I shall be on board the United States ship Houston. on my way eastward to take part in the fleet maneuvers. Although I have commissioned Mr. Roper to act and speak for me in the ceremonies that mark the opening of the Golden Gate International Exposition, I cannot forego this further and more personal expression of my deep interest. From what I saw with my own eyes last July, I can well imagine the beauty of the completed undertaking, and I look forward with real eagerness to the visit this coming summer that I have promised myself. Were the West and things Western less close to my heart, I would still be constrained to wish the exposition a success even beyond the hopes of its builders, for the federal government is in close partnership with this national enterprise. One government agency has helped financially to build the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge, both of them engineering marvels of the century. Another agency has helped with men and funds to raise this new island from the ocean bed. And still another has assisted in the construction of the hangars and other buildings that will remain when the exposition ends and the site reverts to its intended purpose, a great permanent airport, immeasurably helpful to the commerce of the Pacific coast and a vital and integral part of our national defense. Treasure Island, with an area of more than 400 acres, is America's newest insular possession. It is an outstanding example of territorial expansion without aggression. I am quite open and unashamed in my liking for expositions. They perform a distinct service in acquainting people with our progress in many directions and with what other people are doing. They stimulate the travel that results inevitably in a larger degree of national unity by making Americans know their America and their fellow Americans. I have never thought it unfortunate that New York and San Francisco picked the same year for their world fairs. Instead of one incentive, people have two. And it is my sincere hope that 1939 will witness a swing around the whole American circle that will give some realization of our resources and our blessings, and more important, emphasize the essential unity of American interests. Getting acquainted with the United States is about as good a habit as I know. Furthermore, the San Francisco and New York World's Fairs do not in any way duplicate each other. Their themes and their exhibits cover different fields, make different appeals. Most decidedly, if you have seen one, you have not, in effect, seen the other also. The 11 Western states who are partners in this exposition constitute a great area which is of incalculable importance to the prosperity of the United States. The vigor and boldness of these states, a direct inheritance from pathfinding forebears, is equally helpful in the social pioneering that has been commanded by today's necessities. Many times, in the elaboration of what I call the good neighbor policy, I have stressed the point that the maintenance of peace in the Western Hemisphere must be the first concern of all Americans. North Americans, Central Americans, and South Americans. For nothing is more true than that we here in the New World carry the hopes of millions of human beings in other less fortunate lands. By setting an example of international solidarity, cooperation, mutual trust, and joint helpfulness, we may keep faith alive in the heart of anxious and troubled humanity, and at the same time, lift democracy high above the ugly truculence of autocracy. And so, when I wish the Golden Gate International Exposition all possible success, it is as an instrument of international goodwill, as well as an expression of the material and cultural progress of our own West and of our Pacific Ocean neighbors.
The President of the United States has participated in this dedicatory program for the Golden Gate Exposition on Treasure Island in San Francisco Bay from Key West, Florida. This concludes the President's dedication of the San Francisco World's Fair.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
America's finest natural harbors, the ceremonies go on, marking the dedication of the Golden Gate International Exposition. California has declared a public holiday, and all America joins in the season of merrymaking which opens today. Looking around us at the millions of dollars worth of exhibits, we suddenly realize that there are few nations in this turbulent world today who could exhibit such a tremendous pageant of progress and prosperity. And still fewer nations who would care to invite their neighbors to join them in a showing of man's peacetime accomplishments. That we may do this during a period of worldwide unrest is a tribute to the fact that America maintains and is now increasing an adequate national defense. This is National Defense Week throughout the nation. And here, in the midst of these dedicatory exercises, it's entirely fitting that we set aside a small portion of our program as a reminder that we must continue to safeguard our national security, increasing our sea and air defense where it is necessary to protect us against attack. The Western Division of Columbia's Department of Special Events has arranged for a crew of CBS announcers and engineers to be aboard a giant bombing plane of the United States Army Air Corps, which a short time ago left March Field near Riverside, California, heading for San Francisco Bay. The plane is approaching San Francisco now, and we take you to Gary Breckner, your announcer in the plane.
Greetings from the air, over the air, from Columbia shortwave transmitter KAAC, operating on 2830 kilocycles. We're several thousand feet up in one of United States Air Corps' trim fighting ships, and we've flown the 480 miles to the San Francisco Bay region, hurrying not on a mission such as these planes were designed for, but on an errand of goodwill, to add our contribution to the mighty celebration dedicating the Golden Gate International Exposition. We're over that vast island harbor, or that inland harbor rather, whose entrance is the fabled Golden Gate. Over the water, directly ahead, the towering buildings of San Francisco form a beautiful picture, a great city, linked by the two tremendous bridges, the Golden Gate Bridge to Marin County and the Oakland-San Francisco Bridge to the cities across the bay. In the center of this latter bridge, with that 8.5-mile span tunneling through it, is tiny green Yerba Buena Island. And just beyond it, approached by a causeway from Yerba Buena, is that glamorous fairyland which proud Westerners have built from the sand of the bay bottom, Treasure Island. Resplendent in its gardens, flags, massive buildings, and huge holiday crowd that almost overflows its 400 acres. Topping the whole exposition is the dramatic Tower of the Sun, rising 400 feet to where a huge gilded phoenix typifies San Francisco's rise from the ashes of the Great Fire. Between the Federal Building and the International Hall is the Court of the Nations. And there in that huge space, we can see the speaker stand and the thousands of visitors who are listening to the opening ceremonies. Our doubly important mission today, ladies and gentlemen, to honor the opening of the fair and National Defense Week, includes among our flying companions two men who have messages suitable to the occasion. May I introduce first Major Frank E. Benedict, Air Corps Reserve, Chairman of the Air Corps and Industrial Mobilization Committee for National Defense. Major Benedict.
Thank you, Gary Breckner. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
I wish you could be here with me to view this magnificent panorama that is spread out below. Treasure Island, jeweled by the sun, fan-like and sparkling, embodies to me, through its buildings and architecture, the true spirit of America going ever forward. What an unthinkable thing it would be if this great display of American genius were to be destroyed by an enemy fleet or air force. We of California are back of the National Defense Program 100%. We reserve officers consider this question of national defense more than seriously. And during National Defense Week, we have brought America's needs, in truth, a program of peace through preparedness, before our people. We in California only wish that Americans who live between the two seaboards could visit California and view our 1,500 miles of coastline and see the pressing need for more complete and desirable defense. You citizens of America have our support. Now, I am speaking as a reserve officer, but as a citizen of California. For our entire program of national defense, there never has been a time in the history of America when it was more necessary that America prepare herself against the time when we may face the loss of our liberties. You have but to remember that America will be able to settle her disputes with foreign nations at the council table. If, however, we can back our diplomats' words with a showing of force. Heretofore, America has been a potential factor in world affairs. So let us make America an actual factor in world affairs. Remember, the cost of national defense is the price of liberty. Thank you.
Thank you, Major Benedict. I'm sure those words strike home to everyone on such a day as this. Also with us today is one of the nation's leading newspaper writers who has something to say on the subject of fairs as well as national defense. He's Mr. Dindy Doyle, radio editor of the New York Journal-American. Dindy Doyle.
The thrills and the beauties of this magic land they call Treasure Island, which was literally claimed from the ocean's bottom by engineers of the United States Army, have been described for you in detail. There is little left for me to say as I marvel at the scene below from this great Army bomber up here from Mars Field, dipping its wings in tribute to the genius of the people of San Francisco. There is no other city like San Francisco, truly metropolitan and truly urban, with that gorgeous background of the romance of the days of gold. It stands on the edge of the Pacific, proud, oh so colorful, and oh so hospitable. Perhaps San Francisco is what most New Yorkers would like New York to be. You should come here to visit this great and gay city and its expositions. You should visit the New York World's Fair, too, for that will also be a tremendously colorful and eloquent panorama of the civilization of the future. Here am I, a New Yorker, flying high above the San Francisco World's Fair. I've traveled nearly 3,000 miles to see this exposition. Thousands of other Easterners will do the same, I hope. And thousands of Westerners will travel just as far to see the fair, which opens in New York in April. Other countries devote their national energy and their money to wars of aggression. We Americans have used ours, thank God, in building these mighty expositions, which dramatize the accomplishments of the past, the prosperity and the happiness of the present, and the plans for the civilization of the future. This huge Army bomber in which I am flying is a symbol of the defense which we have built around our prosperity and independence, a defense which we intend to strengthen until no foreign power can demand that we give up our peaceful progress. Let us pray that this plane and other bombers like it shall always stand guard over such scenes of gaiety and national pride as the one we see on Treasure Island below us today. The broadcast from this Army bomber high above Treasure Island rounds out the coverage of the opening of this great San Francisco fair by the Columbia system, which has spared neither expense nor effort to bring to your front room a graphic description of the wonders and the colors we see here. It has been a genuine pleasure to be a part of the group which has furnished the eyes for your ears.
Thank you very much, Denny Doyle, for your real American view of the fair and national defense. You know, San Francisco is known as the city that knows how. And believe me, they've shown it with the opening of this exposition. They've made of Treasure Island a center of culture, education, and science, as well as a great fun spot. And they've looked to the future in building a spot which will be used as an airport and seaplane base after the fair. Pan American Airways have already established a permanent terminal on the south end of the island. Between Treasure Island and Yerba Buena is the delightful little cove known as the Lagoon of the Trade Winds. And there's the giant clipper ships take off for their long hop to Hong Kong. Right now, there are two new planes in the lagoon. The largest airplanes in the world, the 41.5-ton Boeing Pan American Clippers, number 17 and 18. Number 18 is awaiting orders now for its flight to Hong Kong, and number 17 is scheduled to take off Monday on a leisurely shakedown cruise to Baltimore by way of San Diego. Well, Treasure Island, from up here it looks like a fairy city, sculptured out of some particularly tasty kind of colored candy. Naturally, the sounds of merriment can't reach us up here, and whatever action we can see is dwarfed by distance. However, down on the fairgrounds, there's sound and action aplenty. We return you now to the Court of the Nations.
Away steals into your heart today. California is calling you, land of magic where dreams come true. Every day the sun goes west to the shores it loves the best. California delights to share nature's blessings beyond compare. Yours the power, claim your hour. California's calling you.
Standing in the front ranks of Western leaders is the president of the Golden Gate International Exposition. You have heard him today as your host of the opening day ceremonies. You hear him now as Leland W. Cutler, friend of presidents, captains of industry and commerce, and to every Westerner, the popular head of a great World's Fair. Mr. Cutler.
There's much that I would like to say. First, I thank the President of the United States for his message. We wish that he were here today, and we hope that he will return to be a guest of the West later during the exposition year. I thank, too, the radio industry of America for the tremendous coverage it has given our opening ceremonies. And I especially thank all the individual citizens who have helped us create an exposition which we are proud to give to the world at this time. Personally, I can't help being proud of Treasure Island, and I know many another man who feels the same way. When we built it, we aimed for beauty, and we have accomplished it. We asked for the atmosphere and the color of scores of foreign nations. We have been fortunate in this respect. Thousands upon thousands of men have planned and dreamed for this day, but mainly they have worked. And everything they did, they tried to do a little better than it has ever been done before. We have tried to build on Treasure Island the kind of a city that you would build in your own imagination. We have tried to give it a personality that you will like instantly, a personality that is vivacious and versatile, and that will respond to your mood. And Treasure Island can be as changeable as the most changeable. If you come here desirous of seeing the nations of the world, you will be amply rewarded by the tremendous exhibits that 41 nations have sent to us. You can walk among priceless masterpieces of art that reach far back into history. You will see the march of science from its humble beginnings to the amazing miracles which men of 1939 perform with such great ease. The handicraft of every race, their cultures, the treasures and customs most precious to them will be laid before your eyes on Treasure Island. And if you come for more knowledge of our own country, there'll be no disappointments. Come for a vacation, a rest, for first-class entertainment, for a change of scenery, but come. Well, that is all I have to say, except that I can look out across the thousands here today and see the wide open gates of the Golden Gate International Exposition. In the manner of Western hospitality, they will remain open for 287 more days. drop around this way and be a guest of the West in 1939. Now, my friends, here's a gentleman who may experience a severe shock when I refer to him as an honored guest, for during the last 3 years, each day's progress on Treasure Island has spelled work for himself and 150 other eminent Westerners comprising our board of directors. I give to you Mr. Athol G. McBean, chairman of the board for the Golden Gate Exposition. Mr. McBean, your modesty may preclude mention of the work of your board, so before you speak, may I say that the West is better off today for the contribution you and your colleagues have made. Mr. McBean.
Few satisfactions can compare to that of completing a great work. Temples, palaces, bridges, roads, and reservoirs have challenged man's ability for centuries. It is then a high moment that brings us to witness the two greatest bridges of all time. Countless hands and hearts and minds have contributed to the building of this dream city. Every known art, every lofty idea, every human skill has been brought into play. From the humblest worker to the most talented craftsman, from the simplest task to the executive direction, men and women have given their best. Seen and unseen, here on the ground and in distant lands, the labor of mind, hand, and spirit have been offered to make this a majestic citadel wherein is housed all that man has achieved in the experience of beauty. For the directors of the Golden Gate International Exposition, I salute all, from the least to the greatest, in grateful recognition of their effort and devotion, and in the name of the same directorate, I welcome you all to the World's Fair of Western America.
An hour of welcome closes. A great World's Fair opens. The President of the United States from Key West, Florida, comments from an Army bomber over San Francisco. Western leaders, civic dignitaries, blaring bands and swelling voices from the Court of the Nations. You've heard them all in this salute to the Golden Gate International Exposition. The ceremonies are over. The tumult and the shouting are carried away on the sea breeze that blows over Treasure Island. We leave you with only the simple words of an old English folk song. Words as sincerely meant today as they were a century ago.
The sun is a shining to welcome the day. I come to the fair. The folk are all singing so merry and gay. I come to the fair. All the stores on the green are as fine as can be, with trinkets and tokens so pretty to see. Forth come then, maidens and men, to the fair in the pride of the morning. So deck out yourselves in your finest array, with the hi-ho, come to the fair. The sun is a-shining to welcome the day. Hi-ho, come to the fair. The folk are all singing so merry and gay. The stores on the green are as fine as can be, with trinkets and tokens so pretty to see.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.